Well, last week and last Sunday and things, we had Dwayne Norman in and really had some good services, ministered a lot of really good things to us. And we're going to go back over. I had been teaching in two Sundays and really from where I started from, and God's dealing with me in the areas, but a new level of believing. He wanted to talk about these things. You know, in these things that I'm teaching here in this area, I want you to understand, anybody could get things out of it, but you know, I want you to understand, I'm specifically preaching to people in this church. I'm not preaching to everybody. And people need to understand, and we want to understand some things, because people can hear things and take principles and put them to use, but you know, this is, I think this is where sometimes people miss it. They hear messages, they hear things here and there, but they're not really connected to it. They're not connected to that ministry. They're not connected to those things. And they go out and, you know, Brother Hagin used to talk about people who were, you know, they just learn enough to be dangerous. And sometimes people do that. They do. But, you know, as a pastor, see, whenever, if I go out, like say, if I go out missions trips or something like that, or I do things where I minister other places, I don't minister as a pastor. When I'm in this pulpit, I'm as a pastor because you are the flock. You need to understand the, you know what? I ain't for the flock next door. I'm not preaching to them. They might hear a message and maybe get a little something out of it, but there's only so far they'll go with it because they ain't in this flock. You know, everybody today, this is the church world today. You know, you just go any place you want, just hook with anything you want, and you just all works. No, it don't. I learned that a long time ago. I learned a long time ago, you have to understand what you're hooked to, because what you're hooked to is where your success is. You're not just hooked anywhere. And people say, well, you just go out there and find a good church. I've watched the body of Christ do that, and that's why we got the mess we're in today. You ask God where you belong. Don't ask yourself. I will guarantee you, you'll pick the wrong place. We're supposed to be led by the Spirit, not by what looks good to me. You find your place. This is one thing as I learned. I was not tickled about the fact when God called me and told me to start a church in Lebanon. I didn't want to do it. Didn't have no desire to be in Lebanon. I didn't even want to be in Lebanon. I wanted to be someplace else in the world. I had no desire for it. But I had learned enough out of the scriptures of this that if I obey and I'm where God's at, just like with the children of Israel, the children of Israel never got into God's blessing until they got into the land. You know, the whole time, what they're doing out there, if you ask them if they were serving God, they said yes. But they end up spending 40 years longer than they were supposed to in the wilderness, doing what they called serving God. But they never entered into the blessing that God had to them, because the blessing was being in the will of God, and the will of God was the land, where He said was their land. And you need to understand this. When we're dealing with the areas, if we want to go to a new level of believing so we can, you know, enter into a place where we can receive from God on a higher level, then we have to get into the perfect will of God. You can't. The more you and I get into the perfect will of God, the more we can step into things, really, the blessing of God. In 1987, Jesus Christ appeared to Kenneth Hagin and told him, he said, he's to tell people, his people, is the fact that his full blessing is on his perfect will. If you're in his perfect will, he said, you never have to ask me to bless you. My full blessing is in my perfect will. So the whole thing is to find the perfect will of God. Where do I belong? Where am I supposed to be hooked up? What am I supposed to be doing? That's a hugely important thing. Well, when the Lord told me that I was supposed to start a church here, there's one thing that I did, and I talked to the Lord directly about it. I said, Lord, I will start a church here. I will do it. But Lord, here, I will do this here, and this is the place is going to be the place of my milk and honey. You're going to have to bless me here. You're going to have to, because if you don't, I know I can pick up my bags. I don't have to pay any attention to Him if He don't keep His word. I don't have to pay no attention to God. If God ain't going to keep His word, you don't pay no attention to Him. He'd be a liar then. See, the word's true. He has to bless me. See, and some people say, well, you know, I've heard people come in and ministers. Well, here you can't expect as much. And, you know, they talk financially and things. Because there is some things about this area through here that people are about money. And people are, you know, they call them conservative. They ain't conservative. Many of them have a stingy spirit. That's what's wrong with them. They ain't conservative. You know, there's a lot of people call conservatives out here, and they ain't conservatives. They got demonic spirits. They're just tight. And whether it's money or in other things, they're just that way. And praise God, I ain't got that spirit. The Lord told me, he said, you don't let those spirits in your church. Because he said, they'll dominate. You know, tight people won't hang around here. In a good place to be. They'll have a hard time. Well, they'll get some mad. We take too many offerings. They like to keep all their stuff. And on the other hand, they'll talk to you and knock people about believing in prosperity, but yet at the same time, they're trying to keep all their money they can. You know, they're just like their father, the devil, a liar. But you know, God has a plan. And this is where I found it, the place of milk and honey. In other words, my blessing, I don't have to be, you know, this. I've watched people do this. I've watched people sit and, you know, talk about, you know, being in a church, boy, if we just, like ministers, they could have more money, they could have more better pay, they'd have better this, they'd have better that, if they had better, bigger congregations and they had this, and they go through all this nonsense. Number one, I don't care if God told me to start a church and one person stays up, he has to give me enough money to support him or I'll quit the ministry. Just that easy. If he's not going to give me enough money to live a good life, I'm going to leave. Then there is no land of milk and honey. There's not a place for me. I'm going. So you have to understand that. You know, as if people get like in an area with jobs and you get just Christians will complain about, you know, or where I'm working, or people say, well, you know, they ain't giving any raises. Well, they ain't going to give you one for sure because you're confessing it. They ain't going to give you a raise because you're saying it. You know, I don't care what anybody says. I'm going to make money. Money's going to come to me because God must bless me. I'm in faith for it. He can't say, yeah, you're in faith for it, but we ain't going to do it. Well, then make him a liar. He can't do that stuff. God can't do those things. I know a minister at a congregation of 500 people, and he had to work on the side. They weren't giving enough money. 500 people in his church, and he has to hold a job. And I told him, you need to get in faith, cast the devil out of them people you've been pastoring. So, you know, do something. Dear God. Nobody's ever going to learn nothing if they think they're going to eat for nothing. God does not have a welfare state. You know, do you ever notice out here people on welfare? They have huge needs. Does God run out there and meet it for them? Just because they have needs? Man, people got needs all the time, and God ain't. God's not moved by need. God's moved by faith. You know, faith is really is what we would call the monetary system of the kingdom of God. It's faith. It's not dollars, you know, or pounds or whatever, yen or anything like. It's none of that. It's faith. God rewards faith. And so what you do is you get in faith. You can't sit around and look at what things are going. It's like Mike was saying. You have the world system over here. You got these guys over town. The economy's doing good while 92 Americans quit looking for jobs. 92 million Americans that normally have had jobs no longer have jobs. And they have the gall to stand up and say the economy's doing well. I mean, what insanity. Now, they base it on the thing. They say, well, look at the stock market. Yeah, that's companies making money and hoarding it, not paying people. Turn around, you know, bringing more. The companies want more people brought into the country from other countries and that stuff so they can pay them less. There's one company, I forget, there's a lawsuit going on now. This one company, I forget how many hundreds of employees, their employees they got rid of so they could hire cheaper employees, you know, bought in, you know. We don't need to bring nobody else into the country, you know. And they'll say, well, these businessmen are conservative. No, they ain't. They got a stingy spirit. There's nothing conservative about them all. They're liars. They got a stingy spirit and they got greed. And there's greed going on out here. There's greed among stockholders. There's greed. You know, if a company don't, you know, they can't make a ton of money off of it right away. We don't want to wait years to get our money. We want to have our money tomorrow. You know, I want to invest today and be a millionaire tomorrow. That's the world system. God don't work like that. So people have a hard time. That's why, you know, I knew God had, you know, Mike talking about patience. If you don't learn the patience side of things, he was teaching Mike, you know, taught the sessions on patience. You need to learn that. God's kingdom is not like the world. You turn around and get in a hurry and you're on your own. You get over there pushing to get quick, rich schemes. You know, I've watched them in the church world. I watched them do it. Oh, you do this and you're going to get real rich right away. And they get over those. They always collapse. They always fall apart. The guys at the top walk away with the money. The people at the bottom lose their money. And they walk away. And all that time before it was God. And it wasn't God. God's never into get-rich-quick schemes. He doesn't do that. But hooking up to where we belong. This is one of the things that we got to understand in God's operation. Now, I'm going to go over and look at the bulletin because we had the thing that, and I put in that Randall Greer had said. The Lord had spoke to him and said in there, and I have it there, if you take on a new level of believing, you will move to a new level of receiving. Now understand this, receiving goes over to the place of believing first. I want you to understand this. Dwayne Norman on Friday night was talking about, you know, planting seed, and he was talking about giving money. But if you'll notice, the money didn't produce anything until he believed something. Money, giving money produces nothing without faith. A seed, a farmer's seed doesn't produce just because he put it in the ground. If you just only had to put it in the ground, you could do really good. Man, farmers would save fortunes. They got to go out there, they fertilize that stuff, they put weed killer on the thing to keep the weeds out, they do all this, they spend fortunes out there doing that stuff. And you got to make sure it gets the water or it don't produce. Seed in itself, just put in ground. If you could do that, I mean, farmers would just go out there and man, they could go and tear up the concrete in their buildings and just throw seed on the ground inside that building and it would just produce. No. Has to get sunshine. There's all kinds of things that has to take place for that seed to produce. And we need to know that. See, people get over here. I believe in the seed part, but I'm a bigger believer in the faith part. Because if you don't get the believing side right, the rest of it don't work. Many people plant seed. It's just like I told you, the Lord said to me, he said, you're not getting back near what you've sown. You're not receiving what you've planted. So it was planted. Well, why didn't it just come to me? Because he said, you're not receiving at the level you give. So if just giving automatically caused it to happen, well then hold it. But see, it never did. It never did just happen like that. Some years back, there was an event that took place in the nation of Israel. And really, it was a very significant thing because it was a part of a fulfillment of prophecy about the end times. But what took place was in Israel, a natural phenomena took place that really fulfilled something in Scripture. They had one winter there that they had enormous amounts of snows in the mountains, far beyond what they ever got before. And then when springtime started to come, that started melting, and they had a lot of rain. And what took place is, if you go over to Israel, there's places that are like a garden and there's places that are like desert. You know, I mean, they aren't out there just all sand, but it's like a desert area. You know, you only get like desert dry plant stuff it goes. Well, what happened was, all of a sudden, water started flowing in place. They literally had places where waterfalls and stuff and rivers were flowing that hadn't flowed since biblical times. They went out to places and that stuff, and they could go to Scripture, said about these places were well-watered and all that stuff. They had none of that. They went out there. And here's an interesting thing that took place. Plant life started growing in these areas, and they went out there and found all kind of plants that people said were no longer in existence. They grew up, and what happened was, see, there was seeds in the ground. The seeds were in the ground the whole time, but they didn't produce a thing. It wasn't till they got watered. And once they got water, those seeds from over 2,000 years ago, some of them they said may have been 3,000 or 4,000 years that they had not existed, came back into existence again. Seeds were laying in the ground that long. See, many Christians have seeds, and they got seeds that they planted out there, but they've never used faith. They have thought, because these guys said, well, if you just give more money, then it'll come. And you know what? They need to be careful in that teaching. Because they mislead people to the idea that if they're just given, it's going to happen. No, it's not. It's what you believe. You need to understand this. Everything in faith starts off with one thing. You believe something, that's the starting point. But it does nothing till one starts to say words with their mouth. I don't care how much money you put out there. It's the words of your mouth that's what's going to give you back what you want, not what you put in the ground. Because what you put in your ground, if you don't have the right words in your mouth, it ain't going to do nothing. You know, it's just like, did Dwayne Norman, when he planted that, he said the $3, he talked about the 100-fold, did he just plant $3 and nothing? No, he confessed and said something. Well, see, it didn't produce. If he wouldn't have said nothing, he would have got nothing. See, it must be, it is through faith. Really, our faith waters, our faith causes the seed to germinate. Our faith, what we're saying and believing, and this is what I want to look at. This is why we have to go on to a new level of thinking. There has been so much taught the wrong way. And if we don't change the way we think, I sat with Wayne Norman and talked about it. Some, you know, because this is what happened. If it, because the one of his, he just doing Dwayne, and Dwayne wasn't, you know, knocking it. He had the same problem I did. He wasn't getting back. Now, he believed in the sowing part, but he wasn't getting back no more or doing as well as I was doing. Because of what? The idea of, you just put seed out there, put seed out there. You put, that has been hammered so much, it has hindered the body of Christ. And God don't like it. It is good for ministers taking offerings, but it's not good for the people. They keep hitting that side, and I know why they do it, and the Lord told me. He doesn't like it because they don't want to change with it because it makes them money. I'm preaching here today because I am interested in your wallet and you getting money. God is interested in me getting money. Now, He don't want me greedy or just money-minded, but He wants me to reap good crops off the money that we're putting out there. He wants my wife to do, my to do well. He wants us. He said, you're not nearly getting back. And he was right. My words. What he began to lead me into. But really, these things, I want you to see. Now, I want you to, I put another verse down. This is something Jehoshaphat said. We can't go over the whole story. Jehoshaphat, it's about, you know, the three armies. There was three armies out there. It was Moab, Ammon, and Mount Seir. All these three nations got together and they're going to attack Jerusalem. They're coming after Judah. And anyhow, well, you know, Jehoshaphat called all the people together and he told them to pray, and they were praying. And one of the sons of a priest stood up, and he was a prophet is what he was. And he spoke by the word of God and gave him a word of what to do. The Lord said, hey, this battle's mine, it's not yours. So Jehoshaphat acted like it was true. But Jehoshaphat said this in 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 20. The end of the verse says this. This is what Jehoshaphat spoke. He said, believe in the Lord your God and you shall be established. You believe in God, believe in His word, it'll establish you, it'll set you. And then he said what? He made this statement to believe His prophets, and he said, and you shall prosper. Now that isn't just money, but we want to understand this. They prospered. Jehoshaphat, his people, they went down there and didn't have to fight the battle. They spent 3 days, the Bible says, bringing back jewels and all kinds of the 3 days. Can you imagine? A whole nation of people, they're down there dragging this stuff back home. Took them 3 days. Now, you don't think there wasn't any carts in Israel? They only had two or something? It took them 3 days to bring all the stuff back that they got. They said, the Bible tells us they went on all these bodies and they found all these jewels and all these kind of stuff and things, you know. They went out there and all this stuff. They're out there, you know. Jehoshaphat, they didn't just God, you know, want them a battle. They, you know, Jehoshaphat was doing good financially to begin with, and God put him way over the top after that one. He wasn't poor, but God blessed him and prospered, and he said this. Now I'm telling you these things because you need to pay attention. Because you need to understand where you're hooked to and what word are you standing on. See, there's things you need to stand on. I've learned this over time. You know, with being hooked up with Brother Hagin. And when Brother Hagin was alive, Brother Hagin would say certain things. I would take it and go to the Lord. Lord, the prophet said this. Or he said that. And I'm standing on that you're going to do that for me. Because he said it. You said it. I'm hooked to that prophet. I prosper because of that prophet. I would give money to that to him as a prophet. I was sowing to that. I had every right to that saying, because I'm hooked up to that. See, everybody thinks that every saying or somebody says out there, they're hooked to it all. No, you're not. That's why a lot of things don't work for people, because they don't know where they're hooked to. It's finding out. And this is one of the things that I have down here because of what Randall Greer said. And I know this thing works. And I want you to understand this. This church is hooked to Randall Greer Ministries. This church is. Number one, Juan and I, God told me and back in 2009 to get down to his meeting. It's the first meeting of his I attended. I went down to Gatlinburg to his meeting because I'd been praying and asking the Lord about a leader. And the Lord sent me down there and he said, okay, I gave you a leader. So I knew if this is the Lord gave me as a leader, what I need to do is get behind this thing. Now today, I'm ordained through that ministry. Juan and I personally give to that ministry, but also this church monthly sows $200 monthly to that ministry. We're hooked to that thing. Now, when I first got hooked, I found out about this thing. Now, here, and I have this because this was a thing that Randall Greer had said before. We find out Here, I wrote it down and put it in here. He said, I remember back in 2008 when the Lord told me that a natural and spiritual correction was coming. And that had to do with here, America. It says, Jesus said there will be a correction in the natural world first, then a spiritual correction will take place in the church because things are out of my divine order. He specifically revealed to me that our economy is going to be affected. That's what's going on in our economy today. That judgment that started is still running and going on. That judgment has not ended yet. That's why everything's so messed up. That's why things aren't running well. There's a judgment. I'm not under that judgment. It says the Lord said to him, now the Lord said this to him. Now you can take this and believe it or not believe it. The Lord said, fear not, I will take care of you, and I have given you all them that sail with you. He said that sail with you. This is what he said. I knew the Lord was speaking of those who were partners with us in ministry. See, this isn't for everybody. You need to understand this. See, I learned a long time ago. There's certain things that is not for everyone. And yet people try to get things off of everything. But it's not. And sometimes people say, well, stuff don't work. He said, since that time, we have had marvelous reports of our partners who were saved from the storm. This is the Lord's doing, not mine. So he gets the glory and praise. Now, back in 2009, when I first heard this, and I knew Lord hooked me up with that ministry, when I saw this and read this, he had it in a thing written in one of his things that he sends out monthly. And I remember reading that in there, and I stood. I said, okay, Lord. And when I first saw it, I said, Lord, because number one, the Lord told me, he told me to hook up with him. That's where I was supposed to be. This was it. And so I just said, Lord, you made this statement that whoever's in his boat, you're going to take care of him. I said, a lot of crazy stuff's going on out here. A lot of things happening financially when the market first went out and that stuff back in that, you know, if you remember back then and that stuff, loads of people lost tons of money and all kinds of things happened. And back in 2008 and all this stuff was going on. And I took the Lord. I said, Lord, you said, your word says this, that if I'd believe his prophets, that I'd prosper. I said, this guy, you've anointed him as a prophet. You said these words to him. Lord, I believe you're going to fulfill those words in my life. I'm not going to end up with less like everybody else out here talking about how things they are. And when I was listening and the president and his boys were up saying people have to sacrifice, I'll sacrifice for God, but I will not sacrifice for the ignorance of men. I will not sacrifice for a nation of heathens other than to sacrifice to take the gospel to them. I'm not going to live on their level. You have to decide. You have many people around you. Some of them are Christians, but they're just as worldly as the rest of them. They believe just like them. You got to take on a new level of believing. You can't talk their junk. You can't speak their stuff. When they come around, I learn, people come around. You know, you go in a store, you can stand there in a line. I don't know how many tens of people. Man, oh, the prices now, this and that. I just smile and say, well, I just thank God I can pay them. I tell you what, I can pay it. Glory to God. I have the money to do it. I don't talk their stuff. You know, prices have climbed like crazy. And I'll tell you, God's blessing has been bigger than the prices. Now, I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to hook right. You're going to have to get yourself over in right believing. You're going to start talking the right stuff. If you don't. Now, I remember when I first read this thing, and then I went to Wanda about it, and I remember telling her and showed her about what it said. And I said, okay, we're hooked up on here. At that time, Wanda and I, you know, there's things of debt we had wanted to get out from under, and we really weren't making any progress on it really much for years. I mean, we weren't making progress. And I wanted things out of debt. So we started moving in that direction, believing God, you know, being out of debt. Praise God, we're in the right boat. We're giving money. We're believing money is coming to us. We're getting out of debt. As most amazing things happen. We got hooked up with Randall Greer, and by the end of the first year, Wanda and I were out of debt. Within the first year. Within 1 year's time. What we tried to work at all the time before and couldn't do. Why? It didn't happen because I'm so great. All I did is I believed what the word of the Lord said. I was hooked to the right thing. Folks, you are hooked. You give here to this ministry. You give here, you tithe, you give offerings, you give, you know, we do mission offerings and stuff. That money goes, we're hooked to this ministry. We are. Not just Ed Gibson. We're hooked to this ministry. And you need to, you know, you go meditate on what you want, but I meditated on these things specifically. You know, Kenneth Hagin said this. This is what people lots of times don't. They say, well, the word of God's true and the prophet will speak, but they'll never treat it as the word of God. The Lord Jesus said this to Kenneth Hagin specifically. He said, I'm going to hold you accountable for as much as what I've told you is what's written in the book. Many times, the preachers have spoken and said, and people ignored it. They don't take, you know, they say, oh, what our preacher to preach, you know, preach. We want to be anointed of God. So he gets anointed of God and he speaks words and says, you know, God's saying this or that. And they look over and say, well, you know, I'm just believing the word. They really look at the Bible. Are they speaking by the word of God or not? I'm going to tell you, I know this. This is the word of God and I can prove it. It works. You know, I don't like to get into my you know, I don't want to lead people in the wrong way, but the Lord told me I have to talk about it. And you'll find out why as we go on into teaching of what God said. I don't know how far we're going to get in today, but one thing is telling people what God does. And you guys know it's back in we started back about a year ago. Well, the Lord began to deal with me because of over knees areas, and he began to talk to me about not the where I have not been receiving on the level of my giving. So, but I knew this because of what Brother Randy said. This is why I put these things here. I didn't put these in because they were just for Ed and God worked for Ed. The Lord taught me in this way with Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin would teach a subject and tell us how and what he did, and the Lord would go tell me to do that, and I'd go do it at work. See, the Lord's speaking these things. If what a man preaches is only for him, then there ain't no point in preaching it. When you walk out the door, you know, there used to be a person who came to our church and he would do this all. I found out they did this all the time. They would listen to me preach stuff and then they'd walk out the door and say, yeah, that's fine for Pastor Ed, but that's not for everybody. You know what? They never got nothing. That person never grew up. I've known him for years, has never ever grown up spiritually one iota. They've never done it. They've never done it. And they couldn't grow up. It was impossible. They were an idiot. They would sit and listen. Well, no, nothing works for us. You know, that's okay. God does that for pastors, but he don't do it for anybody else. You know, the word of God was for other people. No, it wasn't. The stuff works. But anyhow, God began to deal with us. And when the Lord told me what I needed to do to change, to move to a higher level, I was going to have to change what I was doing. And what he talked about, he said, you know, you sit around and you and your wife, you get together about giving. You set a plan down to give. And he said, but you never had a plan for receiving. He said, you only receive when you need something. You know, you go over here and do this, and you'll do that. We did the thing for... It was really crazy because, really, we did the thing for getting out of debt. But, you know, I must be a bit dull. It just didn't snap to me to say, well, I don't have... You know, you don't have to have a need to believe God for something. This stupid teaching that from... And I wish they would knock it off. You don't have to have any needs to believe God for more. We sing songs, exceedingly abundantly, but you can only get your needs met. If I can only get my needs met, then there isn't any exceedingly abundantly. And yet the Scripture uses it all the time. There is none. You got to break away. Get away from this need junk. You'll not go where God wants to take us. Mike was talking about this morning. Look, we're in a time, things have changed. God is promoting some things. And he wants to move wealth over into the church so the church can fulfill his will. And if you have a religious spirit and don't want no money, I want to tell you, that is a religious spirit. That is not God's spirit. God's spirit ain't going to do that. God wants you to be able to handle wealth. He wants you to have it because there's things need to be done. But anyhow, so the Lord said to me, you got to set up a plan. I've talked to you about it, but I'm going to talk about it again. The Lord told me to. So he said, you know, believe God for $5,000. Told me to do that. And we did it. $5,000 come in. And then, you know, we went over the thing to the $10,000. Wanda and I did. And we turned around. And as I said, I told here before, we ended up getting $15,000. So I said, man, that was a good one. You know, that was what the Bible calls, you know, where you know, he does exceedingly abundantly above what you imagine or think. But how does he do that? Now, you need to understand this. It's according to the power that's working in you. What's the power that works in you? It's your faith. People say, that's the Holy Ghost. No, it ain't the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost don't produce for you. You might believe what the Holy Ghost tells you, but you have to believe it and act on it. It's a power. In other words, when we acted on what where our faith was for shooting for a thing, he did more. So, we got over into thing, and I got over into thinking about this. Okay, $10,000, we believe, so you go to $20,000 and, you know, go over into that area. And then God blew up on us. And when I was down at Randall Greer's meeting. And it was interesting down there because there was another minister. Now, this is really interesting because I'm sitting in among all these guys. Randy Greer has talked the same things among these people, and some of them have been with him more years than I have. And yet, they're not receiving on the level that they give. Because these people are givers down there. But they're not getting back. And the Lord had me talk to some of them about it and explain some things to them that he explained to me for them to start to do. And especially had me talk to this one guy. When I explained to him about from the areas and talked to him about receiving, because one of these, I know this man's a sower. And I began to talk to him about that. I don't believe people are smart. This guy actually has a doctorate degree. I mean, he's a doctor of some sort, or I forget what it is. And he's a doctor, but that don't mean make him smart. See, people ain't smart because they're something. And I sat down and explained to him, and he said, man, I'm glad you talked to me about it. And I was explaining to him. So that same night, I talked to him about it. Start to sit down yourself. I said, told him what the Lord told me to do. I said, this ain't just for me. I said, this is what God's plan for the church. I said, he didn't just tell me this, and he wants to bless Ed. He wants to bless the church. He wants to bless people who are out here. This is his whole plan. So that night, I went back to my hotel room. I went down to my room from where the meeting was, and I get a phone call, and a guy says this to me. He says, guys, I'm on the phone. He goes, I want to tell you, he said, there's an investment company is going to send you some information, some paperwork. He said, I wanted to tell you about this because he said, this is not fraudulent. He said, this is the kind of weird thing. He said, they're sending you this thing because he said, you and your wife are going to get some money through these investment accounts. And he said, you're going to have to fill out papers to do this. You and wife are going to get money. And I thought, wow, that's, you know, didn't know about this, you know. And I'm thinking about $20,000, you know, we're doing. And maybe we'll hit 30 this shot at you. That's what I'm thinking. And I'm thinking, oh, this is really good. But I said, how much money is this around here? And he said to me at that time, well, I know it's over $100,000. Well, when I got home, I called the place because the paperwork came. And I found out they said, well, the estimated value right now is $166,000. Now, folks, I'm not saying these things to brag. All I did, I was believing for 20. I'm just telling you, I was setting on 20. But see, as soon as I started moving in God's plan, you need to understand it. This is what happens. And I'm sorry. The Lord is aggravated at what's being going on in the church world, not telling people the truth. While ministers have been no different than the world, with the big guys getting richer and in the church, people giving and going nowhere. And he's fed up with it. They fleece in the flock. You guys need money. You need to. You need to have it. You do. This ain't for some preacher. Preachers can have it. But it's not different. It's for us. Now, I thought, man, this is really... And didn't I find out a few weeks later, I got another $10,000 coming to me. I just found out I have another $10,000 coming to me. I mean... it's just like we set a motion this thing. We began to set a thing in motion. This is God working. See, I believe we ain't got 50 years to wait. Now, I know there's some things. Wanda and I have always been faithful here as a given, but we have had seed out there. People that don't have seed out there ain't going to make this work. You ain't going to make it if you ain't got seed out there. If people ain't been planting out there, there's nothing to come up. If they've been, you know, they've been nickel and dime and God, I mean, they ain't got much to come in. Wanda and I'll tell you, Wanda and I put some bucks in the gospel. I mean, just last year, we put over a quarter of our income into the gospel. Wanda and I ain't cheap. I got a lot of seed, folk. Me and her got big time seed. But you know what? It hadn't been producing at the level. But see, you can start to call things in, and you need to do that. You know, God wouldn't have me teaching this stuff if sitting here are not people who have not been getting back at the rate. that they give. Now look, I'm doing no bragging about this thing or how much Wanda and I love to give. You know, it's things, you know. We just love to do it. You know, and I just knew, you know, just like with Wanda, it really cracked me up because when I told Wanda, when I got back home and I told Wanda about the money and, you know, and we talked about it and I said about how much was there, the first thing, that she was really excited about getting the money. And she said, oh boy, this is really good. But the first thing she said about it was this: look how much we can give to the church. That was the first thing out of her mouth. I said, well, praise God. My wife's right on track, you know. She, you know. Well, number one, I want to sow. Because, you know, the Lord told me to start believing some big things. And he wouldn't tell me to believe things unless he had plans on doing some things. But I want you to understand this. It is not for me. I'm in the right boat, folks. But the whole thing of it is, you got to come to the place that you believe this. This becomes the things. You got to start believing the right stuff and saying the right things. See, if you listen to what the news says about stuff and the things going on, if those things become, and you get those into your thinking, they're going to affect your believing, how you believe about stuff. What you believe about things, it's going to affect you. You need to be very careful about these things, keeping yourself over in line. I just from these things here that, excuse me, Brother Randy shared that he does, I stay on these things. I just stay on this. Lord, you told the prophet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm in the right boat. I'm not in the world's boat. See, I don't want to believe like the world. I want to think like the world. See, there's a lot of this stuff going on in already. You know, and I want you to understand this. You need to understand that some things are going to happen. A lot of churches are going to probably end up losing their tax-exempt statuses and that stuff. The whole thing is Obama administration is pointing us. They're waiting for this thing coming here on the Supreme Court on homosexual marriage. And they're going to push, if the court says yes, they have to allow homosexual marriage, their next thing is going to be to push any ministries that won't marry homosexuals, they're going to take their license. I mean, I heard them even say it. I mean, this isn't hearsay. I listened to them talking about it. This is their whole thing. They're moving away. I don't care. Let them take it. God will give me so much money, and my God, it's going to make them mad. They're going to be mad. Because in the middle of all they're going to do, God's going to give me millions. I'm staying in the plan. See, we have to, but I'll tell you this. There's loads of Christians that are going to go under because they won't give if they can't write off. Oh, you watch a lot of Christians. You have loads of Christians, you know. I've had Christians that they don't come to this church anymore, but used to come to this church. They'd want to give to certain things, or they'd say, I've had them come to me and they want to give somebody money. Can I give it through the church so I can get a write-off? I said, oh, you scumbag, go give them the money. This person had a lot of money. And I knew they were a tightwad because, you know, and given my words, they had 50 times more money than Wanda and I had. Wanda and I gave more money to the church than they did. They wouldn't even tithe. They called themselves tithers, but they were liars. They had a business, and you know what they'd do? They would give themselves a salary out of the business, out of a low, real low salary. Then they would buy themselves all kinds of things through the business. They motor homes and all kinds of stuff. They'd buy it through the business. Then they're using the business stuff. They didn't consider it as income. I'm going to tell you what, they're cursed. Now some people think, oh, they're rich, they got money, No, they ain't, they cursed. They're cursed people. They're going to have to stand before Jesus one day and be embarrassed to no end to what scumbags they were. Nothing spiritual about them. See, don't think because some people have money, they always talk about how God blesses them. God ain't blessing them. They follow worldly principles and they get all kind of carnal Christians to join in with them. Because making money, we want to make money, you know. So you don't want to go, you want to stay over. Everything that calls, you know, that they call Christian, even in ministries, there's ministries I stay away from. There's ministries the Lord told me to stay with. People flock to them. The Lord said, stay away from them. It ain't going to work out in the long run. Why? Payday comes. Eventually payday comes. Tied to the wrong thing. That's why you want to be led by the Spirit. I'm not led by what looks good. Man, there's things out here that look good, it ain't good at all. It'll eat your lunch. It don't look good at all. You can't tell by looking. You can't tell by the eye. You can't tell. I have met people already I thought were spiritual as crazy. Over time, you know, I had some people back years ago, the Lord told me, he said, you stay away from them. And I thought, my God, you know, all these, they seem real spiritual. They seem really good. And you know, I couldn't see anything from the natural that I was around them with. It seemed like anything was wrong. And other people, you know, really flocked to him. The Lord said, no, you stay away from it. Because most of the people I were around, they're all hooked to it. Boy, then all of a sudden, after a few years, it took a few years, all of a sudden this thing blew up to find out what they were really like. Found out that for like 20 years, the man's been cheating on his wife. For like 20 years. These ministers, big name ministers, hooked to this guy. He's been cheating on his wife. Some of them find out they even knew it. But you know, they want to be tied to what looks good. That's why whenever somebody has a big name in ministry, I pay no attention to that whatsoever. Because, you know, having a big name don't mean there's anything in it. You need to listen to God. Hallelujah. Because God wants to bless you. Now, we're in a place that, see, I understand. These things I'm not telling you today, these things I have down and I wrote down, these are not things that I am saying to you, you know, we're going to give a shot at this. I have proved this thing out. It works. It's working. I've been doing. Now, I didn't just jump in at all. You know, I began to set myself to practice. I mean, just, you know, I don't know. I don't know where, you know, you guys are, whether you could believe God for $5,000 or not. I don't know that. But I know this. If you have seed planted, you need to start to begin to believe. And when I use the term believe, because we're going to go on to things that the Lord told Kenneth E. Hagin in some teaching. But you need to believe and then begin to confess and say what the Bible says. You know, the Bible, you know, if you pray for something, it says you're supposed to believe you receive it when you pray. So then you need to begin talking like it was given to you. See, most people say, I'm believing God for money. Let me tell you, there's no place in the Bible tells you to believe for anything. Did you know that? It's used all the time. But actually, if I'm saying I'm believing for something, now, let me ask you, do you believe I received it if I'm believing for it? Well, no, saying I'm believing for it means I ain't got it. Mark 11:24 says, believe you receive it, when you pray, then you'll have it. That's why people never get it, because they're always believing for it. He never told you to believe for it. That's been made up by guys. People made that one up. I don't believe for my healing. I believe I receive my healing. Glory to God. Then what do? I act like it's so. I act like I believe it was given to me. I don't talk to God anymore about it, trying to get it. It's always, God, I'm so glad you healed me. Thank you. I mean, I can be walking around limping and I'll say, thank you. I'm so glad you healed me. I believe I received it. This I know. It will show up. It has never failed. Never one time. I have never acted in line with what the Bible says and ever had fail. Never does. Only failures I've ever had is when I did what Frank Sinatra did. I did it my way. That's the only time. That's the only time I had. And most Christians have the Frank Sinatra believing. They don't follow the Bible. There's big name ministers. They don't follow the Bible. They have a doctrine that has been preached over time, and they just keep telling people, this is how it works, this is how it works. And it don't work. People are not getting blessed at the rate that God desires. I don't care. They do their, look, we want to do our best to tell people, well, we need to understand this. If it is tainted, I don't care how much good water you put into water that has bacteria in it, the bacteria is still there. It's still dirty water. And so we need to understand that to get ourselves into right believing. Just like today, the Lord told me to talk about this. The offering. Now, we've just gone through a week of offerings, you know, giving money and that stuff. And boy, come around with the Get Acquainted Rhema offering. But I want you to get on what the Bible says about in your areas of giving. Is number one, you must learn to give on the level of what's in your heart. Not on what the level the preacher said, God said, you're supposed to give. because the round figure is always for everybody. And I'm sorry. God wants you to sow where you can believe. That's what pleases. Faith pleases God, not doing it. They say, well, give your best offering. They got us. That stuff is wrong. What do they mean, your best offering? What they're doing is they want you to give more than you'd usually give. You need to do by faith. Bible says this. Now listen very carefully. The Bible says whatever isn't of faith is sin. Sometimes we gave sin offerings because ministers have told us what we were supposed to do and we didn't listen to our hearts. Whatever isn't of faith is a sin. You listen to your heart. Where are you at? Where can you believe? I'd love to be able to give $1 million, but I mean, there's two times that the Lord had Wanda and I give everything we had. But believe me, He told me. He specifically put this thing in our hearts to do it. I'd never run around telling anybody to do that. Because number one, most people wouldn't have the faith to do that. You know what happened to them? They'd end up lacking and wanting and going over. See, Kenneth Copeland went to Rhema years ago and told the story how God, he went and gave his car away and got another car. Well, then a bunch of students went and turned around and gave their cars away because they wanted a better car. And Brother Hagin said yes, and then they walked for the rest of the year. They never got the car. See, he was using an example of how God worked in him, and they turned around and took around and said, well, they didn't have the faith to give their car away. Now, you know what? If they would have, they'd have got it if they'd had the faith, but they didn't have the faith. They tried to match where he was. God will never lead you to do something you don't have the faith to match it. See, when God, first time the Lord spoke us to give all of our money away, the first time He did that to us, that was a scare to me at first. I thought, oh my God, my flesh wanted to say. But you know, I knew in my heart that I could trust God in that thing. My flesh was saying, why, you're crazy. And you know, so what I did, I said to Wanda, the Lord spoke to me about giving all the money away. She said, well, if He said do it, then you better do it. So she was real easy on that thing. She just said, go ahead and do it. But the whole thing of it is we acted out of our heart. We did what God told us to do. It's just like with this offering here. No offering ever should be a strain where you sit down and look, well, they take too many offerings of this. That. Now, if they're doing offerings under compulsion, which a lot of times ministers do, they compulsion. Now this is what in 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, in verse 6, Paul wrote and said this. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. And now, first, I want you to get a hold of this. Now, he's talking about bountifully. Does he mean bountifully? Like, so if one guy gave, say, $100, he's being bountiful, and the guy over here gave $5 is less bountiful. See, most Christians think that way. No, it's not. God goes by the percentage of what you have or the ability to do. The guy that gave the $100 could have probably, maybe, what if he could have easily put $10,000 in? But he didn't. He is sowing sparingly. And I'm going to tell you what, when he tries to go over to God and believe for a bunch to come in, it ain't going to work for him. You can't be over here in the area. And see, this is what many people try to do. They get over. You do what you can do. Because listen what he said. Now, after he told him about this bountiful sowing, did he give him a certain amount? You know, there's time with Wanda and I only had a couple bucks to put in. And you know, sometimes it was a couple bucks were all we had at the time. We were being bountiful with what we had. And what gets me is I listen too much to those preachers. If I listened to God, I'd been reaping a long time ago. I would have been reaping so I could fulfill my desires to give more. But I was listening to what preachers were saying about this stuff that was helping them, but it wasn't helping me. And God was interested in me and all those other people sitting there. How much we've lacked of not fulfilling what's in our hearts to do when times we wanted to give so much more and we didn't have it. We didn't have it to do and we wanted to. We've been cheating. So what does that do? See, if I do the thing just to try to get money out of you, I cheat you out of fulfilling your heart's desire. I cheat you. Because then you can't get as bountifully as you'd like to. You can't be as good about this thing as you want to. See, these ministers don't know. They've hurt themselves by preaching this stuff. They've hurt themselves. They think they've been gaining, but really they hurt themselves. The people must be blessed. The people must be blessed. The people. So listen to what he says. Now, after he said do this, he said, so let each one what? Give $200 in the next offering. Did he say that? Did he said, then the Lord said, everybody was supposed to put $1,000 in, and if you would, he'd give you a hundredfold return. Did he say that? No. He said this. Why? Everything is done according to faith. This is the way it's done. One guy might be able to believe, you know, for 10,000. One guy can believe for 100,000 back from God. One guy over here, maybe he can only believe for 100. Well, see, God ain't going to have him give 1,000 when he can't believe and don't know how to believe. God's trying to get you to give that away so he can go, you know. God may encourage the guy, but lots of times, it's like when I started off. Wanda and I had many things given to us, but it wasn't because of our faith. It was because we were developing in faith. God was trying to show us to go do some of these things. And he would bless us in spite of our, really, the little amount of faith we had. But he blessed the amount of faith that I had. He says here, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart. How are you supposed to give? We take this offering today. It's about the purpose of your heart. You know what you got. You know what you can do. Ain't nobody else's business. You know what you can do. You know where your heart's at. You know what you can give and believe God. You know what you can do. See, God don't want you throwing money out there and you don't know how to get anything back. God wants you to know how to get something back. That's why if you operate out of your spirit, Wanda and I just started as young Christians operating out of our spirit. We would listen to God and what God would say to do. We operated. That don't mean because you're going to start listening to God, he's going to tell you to put everything in the offering. I wouldn't know if he'd ever do anything like that to anybody else or not. I don't have an old lot of glue. I don't know if he would. He did to us, but he was trying to show us something. I'm glad he did because he got things back to us. We needed at the time. Because what we had wasn't near enough to what we needed to do. And so he was helping us out. But he said, you purpose in your heart. Now how? Not grudgingly or of necessity. In other words, nobody should be preaching to people to forcing them to give. You know, if you don't give, God's going to get you. That ain't nothing but the devil. That ain't God. We just have the Word of God here. You're not supposed to do it in that manner. Not because grudgingly or necessity, grudgingly, trying to, well, I got to give it, man. He doesn't want that. You know, I've had people say, well, yeah, I know, I got to tithe. Yeah, well, ain't doing you any good. You're doing it out there, but it's of no value, and God doesn't recognize it as anything because, why? It wasn't a faith. We don't grudge out here on this thing. Now, and we talked about this before. We did take these scriptures, but I want you to get across this. Because I want you to understand in giving an offering, you know, it says, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Now, it said God is able. It didn't say God will. See, you can plant the seed, and it doesn't say that God will. Why? God's able to do it. He's able to make all grace abound towards you. Yes, to the measure of your faith. To the measure you can believe for something back is the measure that he can work with you. The Bible tells you, whatever measure we measure it at is the way it's measured back to us. So we set the measure. God does it. Understand that. See, they're telling you, if you give a bigger offering, then you get more back. That is not true. It's based up, you get back according to what your faith can receive. You know, when Wanda and I started up, the first time we ever believed God was $20. If God, somebody had said to me, believe God for $1,000, we'd have never got started. Because I'd have said, man, I can't do that one. Believe for I had no $1,000 faith. I mean, today $1,000 don't mean a thing to me anymore. I mean, those days have been gone years and years ago. To believe for $1,000 was never nothing. But I'm going to tell you what, when I started off, man, you said $1,000, you might have said $10 million because I wouldn't have got any closer to it. But we started off believing. And this is what Paul's telling you. There's this all grace. This is why you want to develop in your faith. This is why you want to grow in your faith. You want to come to the place where you can trust God for things, where you can turn around and reach out and take stuff that God wants you to have. And sometimes it's not just money. But all grace, now he didn't say there's some grace. So everything that consists among in grace, God wants you to have it. He says, abound toward you. He said that you will always have all sufficiency in all things. God wants you, now think, I want you to think about that statement. You can have all sufficiency in all things. How many of you today have all sufficiency in all things? Please raise your hand. Now, mine is only up because I'm trying to, you know, get you guys, if you need to raise your hand, I want to meet the guy, I want to shake your hand. I don't have all sufficiency in all things. So this I know. I didn't get enough yet. When these people turn around and say, well, you know, God don't want us to have all of this. Well, I'm sorry, I'm supposed to have all sufficiency in all things. That's what Paul wrote. Was Paul lying? You know, Paul was a lying prophet. What he said wasn't true. Well, I said, well, Ed ain't arrived yet because he hasn't got all sufficient. And I know that's not true. After I got this money, I was talking to the Lord because I went out to do taxes, my taxes and stuff, and I went out to pick up tax things and from our past taxes. And I was going out and I was talking to the Lord about this money, and I said about this money. And immediately the thing that he began reiterated me that I was not receiving on the level I was given. And he told me what I was supposed to believe for next. And I thought, oh my God. See, God don't think I arrived yet. He gave me a much, much, much bigger number. And then he said this to me. You got, and he says, you have to be able to believe for millions. That's what he said, you have to. You have to. He didn't tell me, you know, you ought to be able to do that. You ought to try this. You ought to maybe try to work on this. He said, you have to. Do you know why? Well, see, I have a desire in me concerning some things I would like to give and do. There's some desires in me, things to be fulfilled. Not just in the area of giving, things in life. I have desires. You know, there's things I want to do. All my money, God doesn't give me money to give all of it away to somebody. There's things I want to fulfill, and I want to fulfill things for my family. I want to fulfill things. I want to be a blessing, and I want to be there. And I'm going to tell you, nickel and dime, the way I've been doing it, ain't been working. It hasn't been bringing me to where God wants to fulfill the desires of Ed's heart. He's trying to show Ed how to do it, and he wants to do that with you. He wants you. You have desires. I want you to understand this about your father. He craves to fulfill your desire more than you want it. People always get the big question mark in their mind, and it's always about God, what he wants. God wants you to be in a greater position than you are. He desires great. I thought about it. He's been messing with me all this time, trying to finally get me around to where he's been. You know what? This ain't been lately. He's been dealing with this. I realize he's been doing this for years. Finally, one day, Ed, you know, woke up from his sleep and heard heaven and started to do what heaven wants to do, to fulfill the desires of my heart. And so that's what God's going to, you know, there's things we get within us. And we get, and I just want, you know, for you today is to understand that. There's things within that God wants you to fulfill the desires of your heart, that he has a plan. And his plan is out there that he's going to work in you. This is why, you know, with the Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. You've got to learn to be led by the Spirit. It's not enough to know just what the Bible says. You need to let God start to work in you to how you can, what you need to do to put things in place so you can start to work it in your life. Just like with these things here that he showed me, I give you. This is a wonderful place to start. You start believing these things that I showed you here this morning that Randy Greer says, get these things in. So, hey, here, Lord, I'm in this boat. I'm putting money into this thing. You know, I'm giving offerings to this church. This church is in that boat. Well, if this church is in, everybody in this place ought to be starting to prosper. Everybody in here. Everyone in here needs to start prospering. We all need to start to step to something higher. We need to. Why? We're in the boat. We've been too affected by what is going on around us out here in the world. God's not nervous about inflation. He wants you to be having income that runs above inflation. That your money don't become less, you know, you can buy less with what you have. No, that you'll have enough, that don't matter what they do out here with inflation, you're going to have enough. And we need to walk in line with these things. Now, one of the things that I'm going to do is I'm going to begin teaching in the area. What I'm going to do is how you can write your ticket with God. There's a little book that we have back there. There's little books back there is how you can write your ticket with God. I see Wanda's been packing up. Miss Wanda back there has been ready. She's ready to leave. I guess, have I preached too long? No? Well, I don't know. I thought that was a sign. You know, she's ready to leave. She's back here packing things up. Oh, you got it right there. No, but we're going to talk about those things. And I want you to understand this. We're going to speak again because we're going to be talking about a prophet of God, Kenneth E. Hagin. And I've talked about this before. Kenneth E. Hagin was a prophet of God. He was a prophet. Also, he stood in two offices. He stood in the office of an apostle and a prophet. He was an apostle to take the faith message to the world. That was his job by God. Jesus Christ said when he returns, he's going to find faith in the earth. It's a shame because, I mean, the level of faith has gotten so low among even faith ministers. They teach faith on such a low level and things off key that people haven't been able to receive like God wants them to. And that's not good. It's not good. We need people being blessed. You need to be blessed. Get it within yourself. It's not being selfish. You know, I don't want to be blessed from a selfish standpoint. I want to be able to help and do things. That's what money's a wonderful tool. Money, you can do a lot of things in helping people and doing stuff, you know, if you have money. I want to be able to come to the point where I have enough to give to every good work. I ain't arrived there. Ed hasn't at that spot. So I need to achieve more than where I'm at. I want to be an aid and a help to people carrying out the will of God in their lives. You know, I don't want missionaries going on the field and them just having enough to get by and do, you know, some of this and some of that. You know, they go out there and really work in the field. They can't hold jobs in the countries they're in. They're not allowed to do that. There are countries, the countries that they go to won't allow them to work. They can't work jobs. They go there completely, move their families there and do things. And then people, you know, nickel dime and giving to them sometimes and think they've done something wonderful. Hold on, that's somebody out there taking the gospel. That's a value to God. I want to be a person who can really support people. I want to be somebody that can give some bucks to that kind of thing to help the gospel being spread. You know, the gospel don't get spread just because somebody's out there. If they don't have vehicles and they don't have the stuff that they need to go around the nation they're in, if they're over there just trying to get some kind of ends meet just to keep their family fed and everything else, I mean, they can't be burdened under that. You know, it's just like the minister I said of a church. He's working a full-time job, got 500 people. He can't minister right. In other words, he's got 500 people in his congregation and he's busy all week working. All those people do is cutting their own throats. He should have had the guts to stand up in front of them and said, "Look, folks, if you ain't gonna help and pay me, I'll tell you what, I ain't feeding you either. Ain't trying to give you nothing." You know, the people always, I want you to say, go over and read the Bible sometimes what Paul said to the church at Corinth. He said he robbed other churches to bring the gospel to them. He didn't ever do them a service. Paul did a bad thing and admitted to it. He robbed other churches to take the gospel to Corinth. And he went down to Corinth and lived there and taught those people, and they never supported him. And you know what? Paul did wrong. He said, "I robbed other churches." And look at the church at Corinth. They never took the responsibility they were supposed to. Quit taking care of everybody. Make people grow up. Stop the handouts. You got to let people grow up. Paul admitted he did that to them. He even told them he didn't really do them a service. He really by doing it. I'm out here robbing other people's money to come down here to give it to you. And what are you guys doing with it? What he's given to them, what he's preaching to them, they're out here living like hell. You see, you get behind things. And that's why I want to get behind things. I want to be blessed. Amen? But Kenneth E. Hagin came along and in his visions and the things that he had, we talked about this before, within these visions and things that he had, Jesus, in those visions, it wasn't just so Jesus could show up and say some nice things and toot-loo and everybody said, "Oh, Jesus is real, I wish I could see Jesus." Every one of these visions that he had, there was revelation given by God to the church. It always was to the church. Now, Kenneth Hagin got blessed by the revelations because if he walked in them too, by the Word of God, if you walk in them, and you need to understand this, these revelations were specifically given to them. And I had read before in talking about this, and I'd read before where the Lord Jesus Christ spoke these words to Kenneth Hagin, which I'm not going to start on it today, but we're going to teach. I'm just going to do back over the introduction again to this, and then we're going to come back on it next week. I just want to fulfill what the Lord said to me to do today. But the Lord Jesus told Kenneth Hagin concerning this revelation. And this revelation deals with four things that you would do. If you do them, you were guaranteed, Jesus Christ guaranteed the fact that you would get your prayers answered. And he said this, if anyone anywhere will take these four steps or these four principles and put these four principles into operation, he will always receive what he wants from me or God the Father. Do you realize what that statement means? Now, Jesus said that. Now, there's one thing. See, I can read this to you and I can say this to you, but you have to decide whether you're going to believe that that's true. The major doctrines are in today, or God sometimes says yes, sometimes he says no. Jesus said that never happens. Jesus said, if you take these four principles every time. So I know this. If I'm praying and it ain't working, it missed something somewhere. So I always like Kenneth Hagin's little book that I forgot when I was first born again. It was called Don't Blame God. And that one was written just to the fact of, if it don't work, it's your fault. It ain't God. Well, I know somebody, a neighbor, believe in God and they died. No, they weren't. Not according to what Jesus said. Is Jesus a liar? Or is that person a liar? That person is a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. Dwayne Norman told me about he went to a church with a minister, and he said this minister got upset with him because he was teaching some principles and along this line was talking about some of these things. And he didn't like the fact that, you know, it was God's will for everybody to heal, and if a person didn't get healed, that wasn't for the will of God. And he was all upset because this minister got upset because there was this woman who was supposed to be really spiritual and, you know, high up there, and everybody looked to her and she didn't get healed and died. And so, see, his faith was tied in that woman, that woman was, what happened to her was more important than what God said. And he told him, he said, are you trying to tell me that she wasn't in faith and died? And he said, you know, this was after the service. And he said, I looked at him and said, yes, that's exactly right. Well, he said, well, I refuse to believe that. I'm going to tell you what. You need to understand this. You need to understand how you run around saying about somebody being in faith. You don't know individuals. People in front of you can do and say all kinds of things, and you think they're spiritual. Years ago, there was a guy that used to come to this church. And in church, he acted so spiritual, but I knew he wasn't. Oh, and people thought he was so spiritual and he was wonderful. Man, this guy'd go home and cuss his wife out. He'd do all kinds of things. He'd do all kinds of stuff, this guy. Wasn't what? Boy, but he'd get around church. All these people, he's Mr. Man of Faith. He was Mr. Man of Faithless. Things happened in his life and people said, I don't understand it. I understand it. If it ain't working, there's something wrong. I understand it clearly. I don't need to. If it ain't working, there's something wrong. And there's nothing wrong with God. I learned that a long time ago. When people come to me and start questioning God, I know this. They are not in faith themselves. If a person questions me why God let somebody die, I know this. They don't understand faith. I don't need a second opinion. I don't need to wonder. Folks, I've been in my life, I know what it is to be in faith and not to be in faith. I've lived there. I'm in this world. I know what it is. But we got to get off our high horse and our haughtiness and come down. The Bible's true. Jesus Christ said, if anybody anywhere will follow these four steps or these four principles and put these four principles into operation, he will always receive what he wants from me or God the Father. Now, let me just say this to you. You can't take that principle and pray it for everybody else. People have a say in their life. You can't override other people's faith. You can't do that. This is talking about you believing God for you. You can't do it for other people. They have to. Now, the Bible says if two agree, it's by touching anything else. But they have to both be on the same faith. That's why when somebody comes and asks me, he says, would you agree with me? And I say, well, what do you believe in? I never tell people I'm going to agree with them in something unless they tell me exactly what they're believing. I say, would you believe me that, you know, if God, blah, 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 they go through the thing and say, well, no, the Bible don't say that. The Bible says you believe, you receive it, you have it. I'll believe you receive it right now. Well, that's not what I believe. Well, then we can't agree. See, people just jump in and say they agree, and they wonder why agreement don't work. Agreement can't work till I find out what I'm agreeing on. See, if I'm believing one way and they're believing another way, it ain't going to work. Now, there's things you can have authority concerning areas with your family and stuff sometimes, you know, but there's one thing about it. That will not go on forever. You can go over time. God will play witness to people, but you can't just carry people. You can't pray. It's just one thing. It's like when our kids were little, we could stand faith for our kids, you know, because they were little and we'd just use our faith. But you know what? I mean, they're grown up and they're married today. Their faith, you know, we could get in agreement with each other, or we can get in agreement and believe God, and that'll work. But I just can't override their faith or no, just this is what I want to believe and it's just going to happen. It doesn't work like that. Yet people are always trying to do those things. They're always trying to do that over somebody else. I can't override Wanda's faith. She's my wife. I can't. If she's believing a different direction than I am, well, it ain't going to work. Gotta be on the same page. No matter if you're husband and wife, it don't mean a thing. Both adults, God expects, you know, one can't use their faith to carry the other one all the time. We might get away with certain things, but man, I'll tell you what, it wouldn't keep up after a while. See, I learned when I first started off, I realized there was things I could help Wanda out because when I was sort of going on things before she was, and I could use my faith in areas and that stuff, but come the point, she had to get in on to it and how to do it. I mean, when I first started talking about giving money away, it choked her. But now she got her faith, and I'll say about giving money away, and she'll say, well, let's give more. So she got on to it. So she's not doesn't have a problem with it. So when it comes to giving, we're on the same page. You know, we're heading in the same direction. So we can easily do that. And we need to understand you got to get on the same page. I don't care because you go to the same church, don't mean you're on the same page. It don't mean you believe the same. You have to understand that and know that. Because many times people aren't acting in agreement. As much as Wanda and I can get in agreement, do things, I want to do that. Because, you know, the agreement part of doing that, they said, of anything you ask. So in other words, really, you can bring anything a miraculous to pass. It's a powerful thing when you get two people agreeing. So you want to be able to do that. You find out. I find out this happens sometimes between husband and wife. I'm going to throw this in free. Because, you know, parties get haughty and one doesn't want to admit they can't believe and the other one wants to talk to them, well, how are you believing in this? And they say, well, I'm believing God. Get over it. You go over into that stuff, you do that kind of thing, you're going nowhere. If somebody can't question your faith of where you're at on a thing because they're trying to get something done, you need another dip. Something's wrong with you. You got a wrong spirit. You don't allow that stuff to go on. If you're trying to get in agree with somebody and somebody can't talk to you about your faith, you got a problem. See, we got this haughtiness in the church. Because everybody wants to say, I'm so spiritual. Man, there's some things I'm pretty spiritual about. There's some things I need to sort of learn some spiritual things about. There's areas I'm not as spiritual. You know, I got over in the areas of faith and found out there's and money. I wasn't walking where God wanted me to walk. And so I had to turn around, hey, I'm not using my faith. I got to put my faith here in another direction and I got to do this. But see, people get over in the areas and then, well, you question my faith. Well, I'm going to tell you, God's going to question your faith. And that's why some people never grow up or ever get anywhere in their faith. I know people, they can't get healed. They ain't going to get healed until they get off their haughty horse and get out of here and find out that they really don't know nothing about what's going on. You got to do that. You know, you can't keep the devil in your life and then operate in God's kingdom. You can't do it. You know, when the Lord told me about my financial things, what's going on, the first thing I said to him is, Lord God, forgive me. Dear Lord. I ain't been paying attention. Because I realized when he started dealing with me, you know, he'd been trying to get me a hold of me for this long time. But see, what happens is you get out here and everybody's doing the same thing around out here, and after a while you find out you're just flowing in the same stuff, you're doing it, and you ain't questioning things. Because as soon as you question something, I'm going to tell you what, I'll guarantee you this. There's big name ministers. If I walked up and questioned them about certain things they're doing concerning and talking about finances, I'll tell you what they'd say. Who do you think you are? I got all this money. I'm this big shot. Who do you think you are? I know what they'd say. I've had people tell me that. You try to talk to them with that. Who do you think you are? Mm-hmm. Say, Lord, yep. Well, Lord, I said it to them. You deal with them on it. They're going to keep going on their same path. Why? They don't want to admit we don't know. Folks, might as well know it. We don't know it all. Get over it. Get over yourself. It makes it much easier to walk in faith if you do. Because, hey, Ed's faith comes from God. It don't come from Ed. If I have ability to believe, I never worked it up. I got it from God. If God hadn't spoke to me to do the things to do concerning finances, I'd still be dumb. I got it because He told me and explained to me, and faith came from that. I did have the sense to believe what He was saying rather than keeping on my same road. But really, that's all I was doing is cooperating with what He said. So I can't even declare, really, from a standpoint, our faith comes from God, so my faith ain't really even mine. I got it from Him. I wouldn't even have it if He hadn't given it to me. And I got it from Him because of what He said. And I believed what He said and acted on what He said. This ain't no big deal of working in this thing. Ed didn't become more of a genius. Ed just found out what God was saying. You know, I'm no more brighter from the standpoint. I just found out some more information, but I didn't get it because I was smart. And I figured this one out, man. See, no, I didn't figure it out. God had to tell me. If He wouldn't have told me, I wouldn't. These other things would have never happened. And it was God. So we can't be haughty about none of this. And don't feel bad sitting there saying, well, you know, boy, man, I've been messing up. You know, don't get into that thinking. God's bringing us revelation not to condemn us. It's to get us out from under this rock we've been sitting under. And you know, really, we've been sitting under a rock. We got blessed so much to a certain point. You know, and it's been good. I mean, God has done wonderful things for me up to this time. But I realize, my God, if I limited what He wanted to do, I've limited. He's been wanting to bless me. And He didn't turn around and say, oh, you knucklehead, you ain't been paying attention. You could have done this years ago and you didn't. He didn't say none of that. I just figured it out after I talked to him. I thought, oh my God, no use me dragging it up and getting myself into condemnation. I'm not going to. Because right now, I am in faith. And that's where He wanted me. He didn't want me back there grumbling around for the years I missed it. You ain't going to ever get what the canker worm ate going back to the canker worm junk. You got to come over to the other side, get over here and say, praise God, I'm here right now. I'm in faith now. Hallelujah. And I didn't learn that stuff. I learned, listen, like Kenneth Hagin, you know, he missed God on finances and he used the Lord. He said, Lord, your word says if you're willing and obedient, you eat the good of the land. He said, well, you were obedient, but you were never willing. You don't qualify. And he said, I got willing real quick. And you know, the whole thing of it is that he didn't wait around and grumble because he had been missing God all that time. He got himself immediately into faith and acting like he never missed it. So you need to stand up like you never missed it. When you hear the truth will make you free. If you keep thinking on where you missed it, you ain't ever going to that freedom. The devil will tell you, see, well, you idiot. You could have had this all this time, you dumb moron. What's wrong with you? You don't deserve anything because you've been stupid. See, you did all that. He'll get you over into condemnation and you'll get back over there. After a while, you're thinking, well, will God want to even give me anything now? Because He's probably fed up with me for not getting in line here and that stuff. It wasn't. Once you hit faith, faith is the place of perfection. Perfection isn't in doing everything perfect. Faith is my perfection before God. I'm rewarded on my faith. I'm not rewarded in everything I did. My works weren't the greatest before. My works of faith weren't the greatest. They weren't where God wanted them to be. But now I'm in them. Hallelujah. And as far as God's concerned, Ed's been walking perfect. Hallelujah. His faith toward God concerning finances is being perfected. Hallelujah. So get over into the areas of faith. Don't get drug in there about, my God, you guys, there's stuff you have sown, you have not reaped as well as you've sown. Hallelujah. That's the message. Get it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We could go on with this stuff, but I better stop. We'll put the brakes on here. Glory to God. Let's stand to our feet.